Hey guys, welcome. So today's a doozy, because I really want to talk about forgiveness. I think that I've been taught to forgive, especially, by the church and just our own human understanding as to what forgiveness is. But I kind of want to shine a new light from all of the things that I've discovered through a lot of just different fasts and really trying to get a deeper and better understanding. And just by scripture. Just by scripture, because, well, that's what I want to get into today. So, one, what is a spirit? What does that even mean, right? Because if we understand the foundation of it, if we understand what a spirit is, then we can understand how to forgive, right? So number one is 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that we cast down imaginations that raise themselves above the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Anytime that scripture says "and," that's a description of the first part of the scripture. So, we cast down imaginations. What is an imagination? An imagination is a motion picture. It's a moving image. So, we cast down imaginations that raise themselves above the knowledge of God, above the knowledge of truth, above the knowledge of peace. And we take above the knowledge of joy, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ, to obey light, to obey truth, to obey positivity. Whatever is pure, whatever is worthy, whatever is praiseworthy, think of these things. If those thoughts raise themselves or take you captive, right? Because peace is patience. And he who has patience possesses his soul, right? So the soul is the spirit. But more importantly, before I get into that, that scripture is letting you know that imaginations are thoughts. Therefore, spirits are thoughts. And the reason why we can see that is because it's a motion picture. It's a motion image. It's an image in motion. Because energy is ever moving. It's never stopping, right? So we take those captive to obey Christ. Here's the better part, is we take those things captive to obey us. If it's not serving you, don't think it. If it's not going to make you more money, prosper you in some kind of way, I know the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts to prosper you. Thoughts to give you a future. If they're not going to give you a future, aka that cake that you have in your fridge and you need to get rid of it, okay? And guys, this is not being judgmental. Me, the cake I had to get, I woke up in the middle of the night and God told me to throw away the entire cheesecake in my fridge for whatever reason. And I did. And I didn't like it. It's not easy. You know what I'm saying? Because you literally have to take your flesh captive. And this flesh, we'll get into that, is your spirit, right? So then it leads me to the next thing. Genesis 8:21, pertaining to what is the spirit. So in Genesis 8:21, it says, "And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of a man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done." Okay, so the imagination of a man's heart. The imagination is the heart. Okay, where do we know the imagination to be? We've always thought the imagination was the mind. But it is. It is. The thing is that the mind and the imagination, the mind doesn't stop at the brain. And the imagination doesn't stop at, the heart doesn't stop within the chest cavity. There is more to the heart and the spirit and the mind. Your mind goes from your head to your toes. Your imagination and your heart goes from your head to your toes. Because it's your spirit. That is who you are. That is when God said, I have an answer to this issue, to this problem, and I will gift it to the world. He created you. That's your calling. Your entire spirit is your calling. Now, in Matthew 22:37, and before I get to that, Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of the mind. So the spirit is the mind here, right? Spirit, mind, heart, imagination, all the same thing. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And then he said, and you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And anytime that the word and is presented in the Bible, it is giving you a description of the first piece of scripture. Now, why? Why should you do this? Well, because you are God, because your neighbor is God, right? Whatever you do to the least of these, you would have done it to me. And we'll get into that later. So now, what is forgiveness? Now that we have some foundational truth as to what a spirit is, now we can actually get into the meat of it. What exactly is forgiveness? Because forgiveness is actually a very, very violent act. It's not, forgiveness is not an act of weakness. Forgiveness is actually an act of extreme strength, and you won't be able to forgive if you don't exercise this extreme strength, because forgiveness is a casting. And if we think of, if we think of fishing, right? When you cast the net, if you're, you know, fishing for crabs or whatever else you fish with a net, and, or if you cast the fishing pole, right? Not the pole, but if you cast the, the pole string thing into the water. That's a violent act. It takes strength to throw it into the water, because you need it to, you need it to take length. You need it to go much further than where you are. Because what you're essentially doing is, when someone does something to you, their image is on you. Their spirit is on you. And if their spirit is on you in a negative way, you have to take it off of you. You have to command that thing to get off of you. Because remember, he who has patience possesses his soul. If someone else is possessing your soul and everything that you're doing, they're on you because they've done something wrong to you, right? But there's also another scripture that says that if it's on you, right, if you don't forgive, if you take offense, then what you're doing is you'll have a hardened heart, right? And God is not the God of hardened hearts. He's the God of softened hearts. Because what in a hardened heart, what you'll have is the emotions that you are raised with are the emotions that you are chained with. And unfortunately, what's happening in society is everyone's raising each other. You will live, even if you are 35 years old, someone does something to you tomorrow, that will be raised into something else. And the thing about that is that when that is, because the Bible says that once sin is, has grown into full age, into full term. So sin has, I sometimes see little tiny bitty images, like, of, like little small, remember, thoughts are spirits. So if you see something, you're actually seeing it in your own mind. It's not, and you know how people have always played down the imagination, like it's this mundane thing, and it's not. The imagination is absolutely everything that you are, everything that, it is your entire life, right? That's why scripture says to protect the heart diligently, for from it flow the issues of life. And we have to be really careful, because the imagination is everything. The imagination is your entire life, your entire mind, your entire soul. It is you. It is all your problems. It's all your fixes. It is you. So, now, when you cast them off of you, this is what you're going to want to say. You're going to want to say, get off of me. That's it. You tell that person's image to get off of you. You tell that person's spirit to get off of you. But when you do it, what you're going to want to do is, if you haven't practiced this, close your eyes. Okay? And imagine yourself. And imagine that thought of hating that person, of what they've done, those things that they've done, because those things that they have done are raised imaginations that they have violently casted on you. This is when the Bible says, and forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Why is that? Because we are houses. I'll get into that in a little bit. So now, casting that person's image off of you is important, and you're doing this in your mind, right? So when you do it in your mind with your eyes closed, you, what you will see afterwards is that person's image coming off. Now, if you see the person's image coming off of you, I would suggest keep doing it until that person's image is completely off of you. One thing that you'll see towards the end of completing this mental exercise is, by the end, you should see either a cat or a serpent coming off of you. Because in Revelation, when it says that dogs do not make it into heaven, the image, the mental image of a dog is the beast of hell. So you should either a dog on a ledge, and then the dog kind of disappeared, and there was an image of a cat. And then God said in my dream, these two have been married long ago. And I knew that the image of the cat. Also, remember in the 90s, that one show, Cat Dog, that were attached at their butt? Like, these things are so accurate, right? Look at the past 30 to 40 years we had. It's the thing to have cats and dogs and to always have them around. They are getting into every movie. If there isn't a movie with a cat in it, we had a kitten that was there are images of being killed that reminds with your spirit. When people prophesy, they're prophesying from their memory. It's snitch instead of what will happen. They know these things happen because whether we realize it or not, this life already. That's set for an entire other time. It's a lot to do with that. But that's what forgiveness is. Now, why do we forgive? Well, because we all fall short, Lord. And we've always been raised and taught that God is exterior, that God, you know, we know, yeah, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, that Christ from dead. And it's all like these things that we've chanted and these scriptures that we kind of know in the back of our mind, right? And it has to get out of that mindset that we God, you are God. In Psalms 82:6, it says, you are all gods. I have said you are all gods because you are the sons of the Most High, the children of the Most High. And then it says, but you shall die like men. And there's that word, and fall like one of the princes. So, what are men? You guessed it. Fall like one of the princes. What is the fall? The great fall. We were created with Satan, guys. That casting, when God casted the princes out of heaven, what he was actually doing, he was casting them out of space. Okay? Big Bang Theory, all God. When light appeared, God let there be light, and kaboom, the Big Bang Theory, and God said, let there be light through water. Theology, that is the process of sonoluminescence. Did not start the world. Biology did. So, and the kingdom of hell is the kingdom of fungi. The kingdom of death is the kingdom of fungi. That kingdom, that word kingdom, is a set of many things, right? Whether it be a set of thoughts or a set of for example, the kingdom of fungi made of fungus, mold, smut, mildew, mushrooms. It's many, many things. And basically, it's the kingdom of all things decomposing, of all things dying, right? It's the process of life. Things die to come back to life, okay? And in this kingdom, it's all things that have been fallen. When God said, let there be, when he created earth, and he said, let there be earth, and the vegetation, and all of these things, what was happening in the interim at the same time was the energy started to change, right? Lucifer no longer had light. Lucifer no longer was positively charged. That's when the electrons started to lose their light. That's when the electrons started to become from positively charged and praising God to negatively charged. That's when to cool down. And this is physics, right? This is what's in the theory. The Big Bang Theory is teaching you the beginning of time and the war between between heaven and hell. And heaven was just the light, and hell was just darkness. When the enemy stopped praising, what essentially he started doing was he started following God's command. God is always in control. Please understand. God is always in control. Everything that the enemy did was to serve us. But now God has given us this book of plays, right? That's a book. He's telling us what has happened, why it happened. It's happened because God created us. He created us with light and darkness. That's what electrons are. We are made up of atoms, and the enemy is in there. So because you made with the princes like the princes, but you will fall like the princes. You will die like the princes, right? Now, why do we forgive? We forgive because we all fall short of the glory of God. We are all God. Okay? And we all fall short of each other's glory. And we can, so that we can be forgiven. Because this is a seed that you're sowing. Forgiveness, everything that you do is a seed, right? If you love me, follow my commands. It's a seed. Something is inspiring in it. Okay? And, you know, the following of the says, and it's your own brain. It's your own reptilian brain. The first time that I fell in love with science, it's the first time I fell in love with the first time I fell in love with science is when I started to study physics. The first time I fell in love with neurology was when I heard a neurologist say, there is nothing about the left brain, right brain. It's all about the reptilian brain. My ears, zoom! Like, I was like, wait, what? There's a what? What do you say? Okay. And started to study neurology even deeper. Although I was already into psychology, I wanted to know neurology. The reptilian brain is basically at the top of the spinal cord, but it's the brainstem, okay? The back of the, in the triune brain. And this, it's also downstairs brain. So in the upstairs brain, that's where we assess risk management, right? But in the downstairs brain, that's the emotion part of the brain. The reptilian brain, or the primitive brain, right? Survival brain, sends signals to the amygdala is called baby gate. What else? Now, I'll tell you this. The amygdala is responsible for functions of fear. All functions of fear, all responses of fear come from the amygdala. It's called baby brain. Now, the Bible calls this part of the brain the gates of hell. And it's in your very own body. Like, mind-blowing. When I figured that out, I was like, okay, I understand. I'll tell you what, another thing. I had a dream that I was in heaven. Now, heaven and hell is also God. Remember, because, I mean, the amygdala, the gate. Oh. Upstairs brain is heaven. I was in my dream, I was in heaven, and I zoomed out of heaven, and I saw my body. And I was like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen that one movie that had the mountains in the sky, and they called them the Hallelujah Mountains. Anyway. The mountains were in the sky. That's how, when I see heaven in, that's how I see heaven in dream. Me, God the Father, and God the Son peered over the mountain. And when we peered over the mountain, I saw this huge hole. And at first, I was the hell. And then God said to me in thought, in my dream, no, that is your mouth. And I was like, that's my mouth. And when I looked down, he said, your mouth could be heaven or your mouth could be hell. I was reminded of the scripture that says that the tongue is set on fire by hell itself. That's James. That's in the book of James. And then there's another scripture that says, and I believe that this is in Proverbs, I want to say that King Solomon. Honey, milk and honey underneath. So heaven can be your mouth, hell can be your mouth. It is what you decided to be. It is what you determine to be. And it comes from the mouth. But moving on. How do we forgive? So like I was saying, this is a violent cast, and it's from your memory. What you're doing is you are taking an image out of your memory. And cleansing memory. When you cleanse the spirit, you cleanse the memory. More images in there that are positive. More images. You want to be careful what you're taking in, right? Because if you're taking in more, more thoughts, right? TikTok, ooh, right? All of videos that tell you, I hate the person, forgive the person. To your memory, you can't forgive the person, right? Even if you forgive them. Then it'll keep coming back in this sour taste. Now, where is the story? Your soul has seed your own body. So when you forgive that person, you're putting that seed into your body and what you're sowing for you. And when something else with you, nothing to do with it, be forgiven, be angry with you about. What you're doing is you're sowing a seed into your body. What you're really doing, really, really, is you're sowing a seed of life. You're sowing a seed of light. And it's surrounding you. And then, that is what it is called to be transformed by the renewing of the spirit of the mind. If you're transformed, what you're doing is you're going to your from essentially evil, mean, or bad, to being good. And really serving you, because everything should be serving you. You are, everything should be bowing at your feet. You are the most, this is not teaching scripture. I want to be very clear about that. Now, I also want to say, don't put yourself on fire, because people are in fire, right? So forgiving also means guard heart diligently. And it brings you to this point. It isn't always letting go of a person. It isn't always forgiving and coming back, right? Because yes, God is saying forgive, that you can use relations to forgiveness. And this is why I wanted to talk about this today. Because some people, especially in the church, oh, I need to forgive and I need to say this woman or this person, make me their floor mat. That's what they're saying. Now, when is it imperative to forgive? When is it imperative to let go? Matthew 10:13. Household is worthy. Let peace come upon you. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And dust your feet off. It'll be worse on that house than it was on Sodom. We all know that we're destroyed. Those towns were destroyed. But what does it mean if you go into a house? Did you think that that was like your house? No. That is, houses are says for that if we are, we have God, a house in hands, eternal hands. Okay. So, we houses. People are houses. Now, I'll read Matthew 10:13. If the house is worthy, your peace come upon it. Now, again, your peace is spirit. Okay? So, if your peace is your spirit, then what you're doing is you're allowing your memory, your image, to rest on that person. If they are worthy, allow your peace to come upon it. But if they are worthy, means peaceful, they always try to fight. They always try to let your peace return to you and dust your feet off, this dusting your feet off, is just do it in your mind. It's a message because it's your spirit. Dust your feet off. Because forgiving does not always mean staying. That is when you're happy. When forgiveness is forgiven you, God, worry, cast your fears, cast your worries on them, right? And anytime someone does something to you, that's a worry, that's a fear. You have to let go of that. You have to let go of that person. And sometimes it means you have to completely let go. You have to completely let that person go because they will continue to take your peace. And what ends up happening is they diminish your life. Neurons can shrink and die. The life and death of a neuron. You have to let that person go. It's cell and neurological damage to stay in relationships that are not giving you joy. Heaven and hell is an environment, and you create it by what you say, not protect your heart diligently, for from it flow the issues of life. Give your peace away, you have no peace. You give your peace away, you have no patience. Right? So he who has patience is a soul. That position is an answer, is a law. Why do you copy? I think the law uses it. The legal term. He who has patience possesses his soul. If something is your possession when you get arrested, why is it? Because your person. It's on your person. If someone else possesses your is no longer on you. It's on somebody else. And that's why you don't have any patience. You're giving your peace away to that other person. When I figured this out, my whole life changed. And I stopped. I stopped being around me. And this is my mom's. You matter. You cannot be people that are broken. You cannot, and you have to start an environment. Because for in that house, the thermostats, the people in that house that are creating for